뭐요?
Last time we were talking about 3B. Here's exercise number 5. Find a linear transformation from R4 to itself.
Or maybe the, yeah, R4 to R4.
With this cute little equation, the range is the same as the null space. So let's remember here. We're talking about something that takes R4 to R4. And the null space is the thing that gets collapsed to zero. Right? Some people use the word pre-image, right? The zero vector and possibly other vectors get transformed to zero. Right? Pre-image or fiber of zero. And then the range, well, that's just all the outputs, right? So zero will certainly be in the range, but there may be other stuff in the range. And somehow I want the pictures to be mirror images in a sense. I want since these are both R4 inputs and outputs, I want the null space to be the same as the range. There's a lot of different subspaces, right? Maybe one way we could go about this is let's try and figure out what that subspace could be, and then we'll try and rig the linear transformation that'll do it. So, what dimension should this subspace be? 4? So the null space will be everything? Well, if the null space is everything, that will mean everything gets sent to zero, and so the range will be zero-dimensional, right? So that won't work. What is the theorem we learned last time about the dimensions?
That the dimension of the vector is equal to the dimension of the null space plus the dimension of the range. Yeah.
The dimension of the domain, I would say, right? Okay. In this case, the domain is R4. The codomain is also R4, but be that as it may. So that's 4. Okay. And we want the null space and the range to be the same, right? Okay. So these two numbers are supposed to be the same.
2 and 2.
Yeah. Okay. So we need a two-dimensional subspace. And we need to rig it so that that two-dimensional subspace gets mapped to zero, Meanwhile, if we use all the other inputs besides the stuff that gets mapped to zero, because remember it's a four-dimensional space of inputs, they'll get collapsed down onto that two-dimensional subspace. So let's just make up a two-dimensional subspace, something really simple. I mean, we're talking about lists here, right? Lists of four real numbers. Okay? So can we think of a simple two-dimensional set of those things?
The vector 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, is that for a two-dimensional?
Well, those are two-dimensional.
You want a four-dimensional?
Yeah. Right, so we would need to put some more...
0, 0.
Yeah. Okay. I'll call this one U1. I'll call this one U2. And then we could have, U3 can be that, and U4 can be the other one. Kind of the standard basis, right? Okay, so let's have, how about I call it capital U or something, is the span of the first two, right? And let's try and get that to be the null space and the range. I think that it shouldn't matter which two-dimensional subspace we pick. Some would make it more complicated than others, but I think it really shouldn't matter. In some sense, they should be all the same. The precise sense of that is that there should be an isomorphism. But that aside, this is the simplest way I can think of. So I want to map these guys to zero, right? Because this is supposed to be the null space. Got to figure out where to send the other basis vectors. Okay. So I've got the right null space now, as long as I don't send any of the other basis vectors to zero. Right. If I just send these two basis vectors to zero, then their span will be the null space. But how do I get the range to also be the span of U1 and U2.
Do we make it equal to U1 and U2?
These ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. So if T is going to be linear, right, then just specifying what we do on the basis elements specifies it everywhere. In general, if I had, alpha U1 plus beta U2, right? We're talking about lists of four real numbers, so alpha, beta, gamma, delta, right? That's alpha U1 plus beta U2 plus gamma U3 plus delta U4, which by linearity has to be alpha times T of U1 plus beta times T of U2 plus gamma times T of U3 plus delta times T of U4. And these go to zero. The this goes to U1, this goes to U2, so that's gamma U1 plus delta U2, which is 0, 0, or sorry, it's not 0, 0, it's gamma delta 0, 0. We could describe this transformation in words. We slide the third and fourth coordinates over to the first two, and then we just pad it with zeros, right? So the space of outputs is the stuff where the last two coordinates are zero, which happens to be the same as the space of inputs that are, that get mapped to zero, right? But I think just this one sentence right here, I guess along with the definitions of the basis vectors, you know, really specifies the transformation. In general, you have infinitely many inputs because you can plug in any four real numbers, but it becomes really a finite type of problem because you only have to specify four things. It's just four-dimensional. So if I have that transformation there, what does it square? And what does that even mean? No, it's not equal to its square. If you square this transformation, you get a different transformation. So this goes back to section 3A, really. What does it mean when they write a multiplication of two transformations, like ST or something? So it's T times T. So let's think about this. Apply T, and then apply T again. It's just the transformation where you apply T twice. It's well defined because the domain and codomain are both R4 in this case, right? The input is a list of four real numbers. The output is another list of four real numbers. So we can use that as an input to T again. Okay. So what happens if I apply this to T, or if I apply T to it?
First two quarters zero.
So it sends everything to zero. Where that zero there is the transformation zero, the transformation that maps everything in R4 to zero. Okay? We call it zero because when you add two transformations, thinking of them as vectors, it's the zero transformation that when you add it to another transformation doesn't change the result, right? Because you're just adding zero to all the outputs. So you get the same transformation again. Okay. So this is really composition of functions, right? So things are going to be different than when you multiply numbers. Right? I mean, T is definitely not zero, right? Because it sends some inputs to non-zero outputs. Right? Yet somehow a non-zero thing gets squared and becomes zero. Right? It's because we have a new meaning of square here. Right? New since section 3A, at least. Now, this is something that we could describe in terms of matrices now. Because now we go to section 3C, right? Linear transformations can be encoded as matrices, assuming your domain and codomain are finite dimensional, and you've picked some bases for them. So, with respect to the bases we chose, this equation, T squared equals zero, becomes this matrix equation. So, hopefully you've seen matrix multiplication before, right? So you could check this, right? So, to my mind, the point of section 3C is really to answer the question, where does matrix multiplication come from, right? And you learn the rule for it about, you know, okay, you know, I've got to multiply, you know, row 2 by column 3 to get the entry in the second row and third column of the product matrix, blah, blah, blah. Where does that rule come from? It comes from composition of linear transformations. Okay. Let's do another example of this. To define linear transformations, and I'm going to compose them. Now, what's kind of annoying about function composition is that the way we write it is kind of backwards, okay? So the composite map here, okay, where you apply S and then you apply T is written backwards, right? It's T S, right? Because how would you write it? You would put a vector here on the right. You have a vector in U, right? So maybe with color, then I can get this point out. I have some vector. I'll call it X, all right, so don't mix up with the lowercase and capital stuff. Vector X, I apply S, and now I have something in V, SX. And then I apply T, and because I'm putting the transformations on the left of the input, then I get TSX. Maybe back in the day, people should have put the functions on the right. I don't know, but this is the notation we seem to be stuck with. All right, so. Okay. So I'm going to make up some transformations here. And I'm going to have a basis for each of these spaces, all right? So just do the obvious thing for each of them. Because we're going to need these bases to explain what our matrix encodings mean. Right? If you don't pick a basis, then you can't connect the transformation to a matrix. Right? The matrices, like up here, these matrices depended on our choice of basis. So what am I going to do? So I'm going to take linear polynomials. And what is S going to do to them? S is going to multiply them by X. Okay. Okay. So, for example, if I have alpha plus beta X, I guess this is not an example. Another way of saying it is that the output will be alpha x plus beta x squared. And I claim then that this is linear. It obeys the additivity and homogeneity assumption, right? So if I have two linear polynomials, I claim that I could multiply them by x separately and then add them. And that would be the same as if I added them and then multiplied by x. That's just the distributive property of real or complex numbers. Okay. And likewise, if there was a scalar lambda, right, you could multiply the polynomial by that number and then multiply it by x, or you could multiply the polynomial by x and then multiply it by the number. Same thing, right? Multiply, you know, x by 5, and then multiply it by x, you get 5x squared. Or multiply x by x, and then multiply it by 5, and again you get 5x squared. Okay? So this is really a linear transformation from the space of linear polynomials to quadratic polynomials, just multiplying by x. And here's what I'm going to do for T. A little different. When I take a quadratic polynomial, I'm going to turn it into x cubed times the derivative of the polynomial at 1. And this will also be a linear transformation. And it'll take quadratics to cubics. So to be a little more explicit about it, perhaps, let me put the x in there. If I had alpha plus beta x plus gamma x squared as an input, then I'm going to take the derivative, which would be beta plus 2 gamma x, and plug in 1, which will just give me beta plus 2 gamma, and that'll be my x cubed coefficient. And again, I claim this is a linear transformation from quadratics to cubics, just like S was linear from linear polynomials to quadratics, because it obeys additivity and homogeneity. T does, just like S does. You can either add polynomials, take their derivatives, plug in 1, and then multiply by x cubed. Or you could separately take their derivatives at 1, multiply by x cubed, and then add them. And same with constant multiples, right? Because you could factor the constant multiple out of the derivative. So it is linear. Now that I have S and T there, let's talk about the composite. This, we can compute it directly using our definitions, right? So first, we would apply S. So it just says multiply by X. And this notation, I'm not happy with that. It's getting confusing. Let me just write it with the alphas and the betas. Okay, multiply by x, right. Now take the derivative at 1, okay, so the derivative is alpha plus 2 beta x, and if I plug in 1, that'll be alpha at 2 beta, or alpha plus 2 beta, and multiply it by x cubed. Okay. Now, given our three transformations now, here's how we represent them as matrices. So I'm going to have first the matrix. The author likes to write a kind of a cursive or calligraphic M. So there's my fancy M. Okay, here's the matrix of S, our first transformation, with respect to the input basis 1x and output basis 1xx squared. Okay, so to make it clear what's going on, I'm going to label the matrix as rows and columns, okay? So when you plug in 1 to S, what do you get? The transformation S multiplies by X, right? So if I plug in the polynomial 1 into S, what do I get out? X. Okay? How many X's do I get? 1. So the way I code it is like that. The output is put in the column there. No 1's, 1x, and no x squareds. A combination of the output basis elements. And if I take X and I plug it in to the transformation S, I get what?
What is S of X?
X squared, right? We're just multiplying by X. Okay, so how do I code X squared in terms of my output basis? It's a combination of the basis elements, right? The basis spans the output space, the codomain. Yeah, 0, 0, 1. So that's the matrix encoding S with respect to this choice of bases for the domain and codomain. Now we can look at T. So now there's three input basis elements. So we're going to need three columns in our matrix. And each output from applying T to a basis element will produce a combination of the four output basis elements, right? So the columns will each have to be four rows tall. Okay, so we have to ask, what happens when we apply T to the constant polynomial 1? Okay. What's the derivative of the constant polynomial? 0. Plug in 1, it's still 0. Multiply by x cubed, it's still 0. So in terms of our basis, it's 0 1s, 0 x's, 0 x squareds, and 0 x cubes. And, okay, now let's look at what happens to x, okay? The derivative of x is 1. Plug in x equals 1, it's still 1. Multiply by x cubed, we get x cubed. So that's 1x cubed, no x squareds, no x's, no 1s. Okay, now let's see about x squared now. Okay, the derivative of x squared is 2x. Plug in 1, we get 2. Multiply it by x cubed, we get 2x cubed, and none of the other stuff. Finally, let's look at the composite transformation, TS. So input basis is 1x, right? Because we're starting with linear polynomials, space U. And then our output basis is in the cubics, right? That's W. So we need four output basis elements here. Okay, so just two columns, because there's just two inputs. But we're going to need four rows because it takes four basis elements to span the output space, the codomain. So we're going to have what's called a 4x2 matrix here. Four rows, two columns. This matrix is 4x3. Four rows, three columns. This matrix is 3x2. Three rows, two columns. Okay, so let's see what happens if we plug in 1 here. Okay, so TS of 1, so the alpha is 1, the beta is 0. Now what's going to happen over here? We're going to get 1 for the alpha plus 2 times 0 for the beta times x cubed. Yeah, because we multiply by x, we get x, and then we take the derivative and get 1 multiplied by x cubed. So we get x cubed. So 1, 0, 0, 0. Or I guess in order I should read it 0, 0, 0, 1. Okay. And then what happens if we plug in x? What's the second column? Yes. We're going to get 2x cubed as the output if we just plug in x.
Okay, so let's then do some matrix multiplication now.
So the idea is that the matrix of TS is supposed to be the matrix, fancy M's here, the matrix of T times the matrix of S. The idea is to define your matrix multiplication such that this equation is true. So if you take the composite, right, compute the composite and represent it as a matrix with respect to the appropriate bases. So I don't know, this is... I was getting tired of writing the bases, you know. But, I mean, really, this is, you know, TS, comma, 1, comma, X, comma, 1, comma, X, comma, zero. Yeah. I guess I've. Okay. So... matrix multiplication matches composition. Once you fix a basis for each of the spaces involved. Okay. So let's see here. MT. Okay. This one. So 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 2. Right. This one is 4 by 3 matrix, 4 rows, 3 columns. Multiply it now by the matrix for S, which is 3 by 2, 3 rows, 2 columns. So 0, 1, 0, then the next column is 0, 0, 1. Okay. So we want our matrix multiplication to produce this. And if you know the rules for it, I mean, you can check it directly according to what you remember, right? 0 times 0 plus 0 times 1 plus 0 times 0. Hopefully we'll get a 4 by 2 matrix over here. Then 0 times 0, 0 times 1, 0 times 0. So, I guess, for example, if you want the entry in the first, or I should say, third row, first column, you take the dot product of the third row of the first matrix and the first column of the second matrix. Okay, now here's the interesting one. Okay, 0 times 0 plus 1 times 1 plus 2 times 0. Then the same thing for the second column. So 0 times 0, 0 times 0, 0 times 1. Again. And again. And then we finally get something interesting. 0 times 0, 1 times 0, 2 times 1. So, for example, if you wanted that last entry, right, it was the dot product of the last row and the last column. So this all actually works. We actually do get this matrix. Okay.
Now, why does that work? Well, the book does go through a proof, right? It's being forced on you by linearity, basically. Now, with this example here, you can see that there's a lot of stuff. If you want to look at why it works, and get some insight into that, it helps to see a smaller example. So let's see this with a smaller example. All right. But I'm going to make it a little more general. All right. So again, S will go from U to V, and T will go from V to W. And I'm just going to put in some general things then. Okay, so S, in general, something in there could be an arbitrary combination of U1 and U2. And what we do is we have then, since the input is two-dimensional, the two-dimensional, and the codomain is two-dimensional, there's going to be 2 times 2 equals 4 numbers that encode this, right? We just need to know what it does to the basis elements. Okay? So the basis elements have to be combinations of V1 and V2. So I can make up some letter. Should I pick? I want to do a lowercase s, but that's too close to the capital S. I'll use a Greek lowercase s. Okay, sigma. (1, 1). Plus sigma 2, 1. So these will be the coefficients. Sigma 1, 1 times V1 plus sigma 2, 1 times V2. And S of U2 has to be some combination of the output basis elements. So call them, say, sigma 1, 2 V2 plus sigma 2, 2 V2. I wrote it kind of vertically because that's what matches the definition of the matrix encoding. Okay, so with respect to these bases, the matrix of S looks like this. And then you can do a similar thing for T. T of V1 should be, I'll use a lowercase Greek T, so tau 1 1 W1 plus tau 2 1 W2. And then T of V2 will be some number tau 1 2 of, times W1. I got a typo there somewhere down here. It's supposed to be a 1. Plus tau of 2, 2, W2. So again, it's just encoded by four numbers. Because in general, you have any combination, you know, gamma V1 plus delta V2, and you plug it into T, right? So you, so that's what an arbitrary element of capital V looks like. When you plug it into the transformation T, you have to get out, by linearity, gamma of TV1 plus delta TV2. So I guess I say gamma times T of V1 plus delta times T of V2. So you know these numbers here, and it tells you exactly what T does. So now we have the composite map where you apply S to take you from U to V, and then you apply T to take you from V to W. Okay. Now, a general element here of the domain capital U will be a combination of the U basis vectors. So we're going to apply S, and then we're going to apply T. And we will recover the definition of multiplication for 2x2 matrices. Okay. So we're going to have T. Now use linearity on S there. Actually, no, I'm making this too hard. I know I'm going to have linearity. Let's just do the basis elements. Yeah, I'm working too hard here. Sorry. Okay. No, I don't need to do it as one big mega equation. I can do not quite so huge equations, okay? T of S of the first basis element, U1. Okay. So we're going to get sigma 1 1 V1 plus sigma 2 1 V2. And then now we do have to apply linearity. We have to do something here. So sigma 1 1 of TV1, or sigma 1 1 times T of V1, plus sigma 2 1 times T of V2. And, okay, so we got there. So that's sigma 1 1. And then we have tau 1 1 W1 plus tau 21 W2. So I just use my definition of the taus there is the coefficients of TV1. And then sigma 21 times TV2. So tau 1, 2, W1 plus tau 2, 2, W2. And once you have that, we want to have it like we had these equations. Like for TV1 here, we had a combination of the W's, right? W1, W2. So we want to regroup this to be a linear combination explicitly of the output basis elements. Okay, so regroup. Sigma 1, 1, tau 1, 1 plus sigma 2, 1, tau 1, 2. That'll be the W1 coefficient. Plus, now the W2 term. So we'll have sigma 1, 1, tau 2, 1. Plus sigma 2, 1, tau 2, 2. See if I got this now. Word there. Oh, you know what? I see. Okay. I was getting a little worried because I was expecting the inner coefficients to match. The reason they don't quite match is because here, see, I have it as a TS. So to make it look right, the way that matches my brain and what I learned about matrix multiplication, I need to write this as tau first and then sigma. So I'm going to write it like this. Okay. So the sigmas and taus are just numbers, right? So the multiplication for them is commutative. There's no problem there. Now the thing you notice is that one and one, two and two, the inner indices match. So, that's at least for the 2x2 case, that's how you recover matrix multiplication. You can do a similar thing. You do the same long, drawn-out computation you want, or just recognize where I have to change ones to twos, and you'll get tau. Now, so I guess. So what changes to a 2? The sigma entries, right? Have their second indices changed to 2s if I switch the input to U2. So now it's going to be tau 1 1 sigma 1 2 plus tau 1 2 sigma 2 2 W1 plus tau 2 1 sigma 1 2 plus tau 2 2 sigma 2 2 W2. Maybe if I use color, that becomes clearer, right? So I change the subscript 1 to a 2. So here's where you get 2s where before you had 1s. There was a 1, now it's a 2. There was a 1, now it's a 2. Everything is the same except that changes. So again, the inner indices still match. Right? So you put all this together, and you get the matrix. Okay, so remember now the inputs are, the input basis is U1 and U2. And then the output basis is W1 and W2. So the four numbers we get can be read off now. So when we apply TS to the first basis element, the output will be this number times W1. And then this number times W2. Then when we plug in U2 to the composite transformation TS, we get this number times W1. So all that changes is that second subscript of the sigma. And then the other thing we get by transforming U2 is this term, this number times W2. So it's the same as that entry over there, except this one little subscript, the second subscript on each sigma gets changed. Now this is the same as if we had multiplied the matrix of T by the matrix of S. Okay. So let's see. So for example, if we want this entry here, according to matrix multiplication, we're supposed to take the first row of the tau matrix times the first column, right? Okay? Tau 1 1 sigma times sigma 1 1. Yep. And tau 1 2 times sigma 2 1. Yeah. So we take the dot product of that row and that column. If we want, say, this one here. This is row 1, column 2. So we're supposed to take, over here, we're supposed to take row 1 again, but now times column 2. Well, let's see, tau 1, 1 times sigma 1, 2. Yeah, plus tau 1, 2 times sigma 2, 2. Yeah. It all matches. You notice that the difference between these two columns in the S matrix is just on the second subscript, right? That's all that changed. So that's all that I have to change over there. And you can likewise check that the second row is correct. So like if you want row 2, column 1, then you're going to multiply, well, take the dot product of row 2 and column 1, right? Sigma 2, 1, sorry, tau 2, 1 times sigma 1, 1, tau 2, 2 times sigma 2, 1. Add those together? Yeah. And if you wanted row 2, column 2, you're going to take the dot product of row 2 of the first matrix and column 2 of the second matrix. Tau 2, 1 times sigma 1, 2 plus tau 2, 2 times sigma 2, 2. Yeah.
It all works.
Have our general rule, if you want entry, you know, I comma j, right, row I column j of the product matrix, or, now how do people usually write? They usually write I comma k.
Right? What is it?
It's the sum over all j, that makes sense, of take MT I row I column J times MS row J column K. Those inner indices match. This number is MTS row 1 column 1. This number is MTS row 1 column 2. Row 2, column 1. And this one is row 2, column 2. So linearity forces this to be our rule for matrix multiplication. Homework, just look at numbers 1 and 2. Yeah. first two are generally the easiest two.
Not always, but
roughly speaking.
All right. Okay.